Today is the 4th of March 2019. I'm interviewing John and Judy Park and their families. John, would you like to tell us something about your family? Thank you.
Where do I start?
Well, you know where it starts, I don't.
Well, I suppose it starts when I'm born. If I go back before that, perhaps, to the Mark grandparents who came out to firstly Australia from, you know, where were they, in England. And my father was actually born in Perth because they thought they were going to settle there. They didn't like the weather, the temperature was too tough for them. So they came on to New Zealand and initially settled in
place up in Auckland.
That place we called, isn't it?
Out from Pokeno. Pokeno.
Where my grandfather was a teacher. We actually called in there a couple of years ago. And then he moved to Tolaga Bay, taught there for a while. And then he became well known as the first assistant at Hastings Central School. People have mentioned being taught by him. He had something on his neck that when he got annoyed with somebody, it would start to pulse. So if that started to pulse,
you kept clear.
It evidently came from a horse kick. So his family were a mother and father and five girls.
Five sisters.
And they set up a catering shop, home cookery shop in Hastings.
Can you remember the name of it?
Well, I don't know about the name of the one there. Certainly, more recently, when I say more recently, when I was at high school, they owned the Egmont Home Cookery in Tamona Road, well known for their marvellous cooking.
Cakes. Apparently they were in here at Tonga Street, just over the railway line, somewhere about in that first block on the right going west.
And that was destroyed in the earthquake.
Just can't find... Somebody thought it was called Bark's Bakery, but we don't.
And was your mother the chef?
No, grandmother and aunties. At this stage, my mother's not in the picture. And my father grew up in Hastings mainly, and at one stage they consisted totally of the choir at St. Mass.
Did they?
Yeah, the eight of them.
Did this music follow on in the family time?
No. So my father went to which primary school? Yeah, I've never thought of that.
Well, he might have gone to Tolaga Bay. It could have been
It could have been before he moved to Hastings.
I think so.
That's right, he would have been at country schools.
So did you grow up in the country?
Well, what happened was that my father was a teacher and he was teaching at Katoona or Kuatuna. I don't know how that's pronounced. We always called it Katoona.
Coromandel.
He was our teacher. And I was born in Whittianga while they were there.
Just going back, I think your father went to Napier Boys High.
He did.
Teachers College.
And then he was Napier Boys High. I've got a photo of him with a whole lot of sports. As an 18-year-old, he played for Hawke's Bay cricket against an international team that came out that he did very well in. So he went off to Teachers College, or Training College as it was called then. And that's where he met my mother. She was doing teaching training.
Well, their first job was at Katoona. They married before they went up there. And you were born there. At Whittianga.
That would have been just a country village those days.
Yeah.
Was.
Well, it's interesting, but the hospital that I was born in is still a medical centre. Some sort of
historic building anyway.
It's on the waterfront.
Got a plaque. Half of it, see.
So the Barks, I don't know if there's any more. They were certainly well known for their catering. They lived in St. Norman Street.
West. Just before Gray's Road, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Big old fella.
So then, without going back to the whirlwinds, my father then, in 1940...
Well, moved to New Plymouth, didn't he?
Yeah, they taught at...
New Plymouth.
Yeah.
You were three boys born.
Two of us were born while we were at Katoona, because Peter was born back here on the holidays. Brian was born in New Plymouth, so yeah. I don't know how long we were there. But from there, so Brian was born 41. In 1943, my father joined the army and was a lieutenant and went to Tonga and had a year there. And these are the things that annoy you, that you didn't follow up when parents were alive. But I don't know whether he ever came back to New Zealand during that 12 months he was there. So quite something that he was away all that time. And then he, according to his mother, my grandmother, he became frustrated at being so far away from what was happening in the war, that he resigned his commission, came back to New Zealand, trained and went away as a sergeant to, firstly, Egypt, where they trained, and then he was posted to Italy, and I've done quite a bit of research on that, of what his life was like there. I had a talk at church one time when they were doing a series of what did Anzac Day mean to you, and he was plagued with diarrhea, so he kept getting transferred back to hospital, but he was actually not too far from the casino when it
blew up, yes.
But on from there, so he was over at Gatolino, which is near Rimini.
The other coast, he was up the east coast, not the west coast.
And that's where he was killed. So he was away from January, he was posted, he was killed in October. So he was away all that time. So really for 2 years. And in that time we, as a family, moved to York Road to live with my grandmother.
On the Wellwood property. Now that answers another question I was going to ask you, because I could never understand why your mother always came from that end of the road.
Right, okay. No exit road.
That's right.
Grandma's house.
Most of the people that were down that road.
Bradshaws.
The Bradshaw brothers.
Yeah, well, the Bradshaws were next to us. Between the Reeds and the Bradshaws, there was the Pimleys. So Ivan Bradshaw ran that property, and his brother had a more orchard type property closer to Maraukaka.
Yes, I always remember Ivan. He taught me to rifle shoot the Hastings small bore rifle club.
Because the Reeds were right into that.
That's right. Well, I'd grown up with it, hadn't I?
Yeah. I used to go out to the right to Okawa and do the marking.
Those would have been sad days for you as a family.
Yeah, well, I mean, life just went on. See, I was only five when he went away. Brian was only one. Peter was in between us. So, thinking back, it wasn't something we miss, as it were. Mm. Now, one of the things that was mentioned subsequently, I read somewhere where more often than not, if a male child loses their male parent, it's usually someone else that becomes a pseudo.
Yes.
And when I think back, that was Lindsay Wellwood, who was my mother's brother, and the reason that he was always there was because he was managing the property up at Ngātarawa, 200 odd acres, and running it in conjunction with the 50 acres at York Road. So most days he was around, and then I worked after school, oh, I don't know from when, I think I was still at primary school, but certainly high school, early high school, on Ivan Bradshaw's milking cows.
So you were a cowboy too?
Yeah, I was always going to be a farmer, because used to go over every night, and then the weekends as well, and then he was also doing contracting work, so I did a lot of tractor work. I worked in with Jim Reed with his big harvester that we used to drive as kids.
Yes.
Yeah, so it was a life without my father, but really
there were other people who became your mentors.
Yeah, it was Ivan Bradshaw or Lindsay Wellwood.
Yes. So I've interviewed Ivan's brother.
Fred. Actually, I'd love to catch up with him. He's a neighbour of Judy's cousin here.
Oh,
he's a neighbour.
He's a most interesting man.
Yeah.
And, you know, his experiences during the war as a radio operator, fascinating.
Never knew him so well, because he was running a separate property. Ivan and Jean were the ones that I had so much to do with. You know, Ivan had an Alice Chalmers, a little Alice Chalmers. In fact, we ended up with a very similar one up at Lake Taupo. And then Lindsay had the big model of it. When Ivan, I remember going off to a machinery sale, the Chinese gardener, and there was this grey Fergie there that he came home with, and I just thought I was made dry in that compared with the rowdy Alice Chalmers.
So at some stage, rather, John, you decided you weren't going to be a farmer, you were going to be a chartered accountant.
Well, I didn't really. What happened was that I was always going to go farming. My mother talked me into going into an office for a year. And then during that year, realised that there were several cousins, so there would have been more than a dozen, who were all part of the family. So
yeah.
It wasn't going to be passed down to one of us, and it wasn't big enough to share. So and the last thing I was ever going to do was work in an office. But having been in the office for a year, I took to it. I think mainly because I was working with Norm Phippard. He was my boss, partner that I was working for. And he was basically farm accounting, so that sort of got me the interest of farming. I had my interest of farming as well.
So you went from high school straight to
McCulloch Butler and Spence. I had 5 years at McCulloch Butler and Spence, and then went as senior clerk to... Well, one year looking ahead during those 5 years, anyone who became a partner had to do a term in, not Tolaka Bay, Rotorua, was it? Way out of the Walpops. And that was all right for people that weren't married, but I was married. In no way was I wanting to take family up to Rotorua or wherever. Waipawa was another one that we went to. So I was looking around for somewhere else and went to Brown Webb. But of course, in the end, those two firms merged.
Yeah.
And it was strange ending up during a period of time that we were renovating our office, Brown Webb office. We all went and worked in, in the Cullip building, and it was strange going back there.
So when you were a young man, were you playing sport, cricket or rugby?
No, at high school I was rugby, very much rugby,
mm.
and tennis, because my mother was in the Hawke's Bay tennis team, so always tennis. And then I was introduced to squash, and that became a lifelong passion. I worked on playing 2.5 times a week, 3 times one week, 3 times the next.
Well, probably more than that when you were initially playing a lot in teams and things like that.
Yeah, it was probably never much more than that. On top of that,
probably
seen weekends. So, did reasonably well at that.
And so, then as a young man, you met Judy. Judy, do you want to tell me where he met you, or shall we leave it to John?
We met because she was one side of the classroom and I was the other side.
Sixth form. At the high school, Hastings High.
Whereas most classes were segregated, you know, we've always said it's really a mixed school rather than a co-ed.
Mm-hmm.
Although when I was in the fourth form we had commercial practice and there were some girls in the class. But basically it was sixth form that you became... Mm-hmm. And I forget who it was now, pointed out to me there was this girl across on the other side of the room who was showing a bit of interest. So Judy sat with Nolan Black, and then Judy went off to Teachers College, and I stayed home. I stayed in Hastings.
Well, Judy, would you like to tell me something about your family, where they came from to Hawke's Bay?
Yes, well, my father...
I suppose I should really get back to the Wellwood side as well.
All right.
Deal with the Wellwood side, all right.
Because they came out to New Zealand from Kilkenny Island, and the first mayor of Hastings was a Wellwood, and his brother, he'd come out as a single person, Robert Wellwood. His brother, he talked into coming out with his family. He's the one that was our parent.
Grandparent. They came out in about 1865 or something like that. One came out then, and then he wrote and encouraged his brother. Come out, got a letter somewhere that says.
Yeah, I've got quite a bit of stuff on that because we did a reunion at one stage. So, going back to the Wellwood that was the mayor, that goes down the chain with Dennis Holden.
Yes.
You know that name?
Yes.
So, what was her name that was down the end of Hakanui Drive?
Peter Williams. Mary Ann Holden.
She was Mary Ann Holden, yeah. So, they bought property in York Road and in Tarawa, and so it was my grandfather that bought that property, and my grandmother was, I won't go into that one in too much detail, but She was a
Tilson.
The Tilsons were quite a big farming family at Cape Palliser, Palliser Bay.
Yes.
And just as an aside, that comes down the cousins that I've got who are John Kershaw, the doctor. So I think that's all on the Wellwoods.
Most of us knew an uncle who was Aussie Wellwood because he was a drover. He was very well known.
So sort of two branches, and Aussie was very much, I mean, we never really.
The other side.
Driver.
Understood.
Okay.
Well, my father was John Howard Painter, known as Howard. His descendants came to New Zealand from Plymouth in England on the first ships in 1841. They came from Cornwall and they arrived in New Plymouth. And that family, he had a son, William, and there was another son born when they arrived in New Zealand, John, and that's who my father's family came from, the John side. But they moved to Nelson during the land wars, and that was where my grandfather grew up, and he became involved in the fruit industry down there then. So that was the first of the fruit growers in Nelson.
Yes.
The family moved around a little bit, and there were eight children in that family, three boys and five girls, and my father was the eldest of that family. So he was a first, second generation New Zealander, is that right? And I'm third generation. So they've been out here since 1841. My father was brought up from Nelson, moved to Hamilton, where my grandfather was involved in horticulture there with the government. And my father grew up there, went to Hamilton Boys High, and then he went to Christchurch to visit an uncle, and he had an accident there which changed his life. In fact, he's lucky he survived. It was a Sunday, and they were at church, as he did, and went back to a friend's. In those days, the banks had people living above the bank, and they had a gun, and they were the security. And they went back to this person's flat to have a look at it, and young lads, 18-year-old probably, and the guy said, you know, have the gun. And he was giving it to my father. The priest had had a bullet in it. It hit my father's chest. He had a propelling pencil in the top of his pocket, and it ricocheted off and went through his shoulder. Otherwise, it would have got his heart. So in the process of recovering from that, he came to stay with his uncle here, his father's brother, Horace, Uncle Horace Painter. And he and Auntie Totty didn't have any family. So he started living with them and was to go back and possibly do school teaching, he didn't know. But he decided he liked the orcharding life, so he bought some more property because they lived on the corner of St. George's and Havelock Road, and that bungalow that's there still. And he bought property down the road, 12 acres. He planted that and built a shed. Then built a house. So he met my mother. She was a Nichols, Dilsey Mary Nichols, and her family, I'm not sure when they came out, but her father came out from England and her mother separately. Her father was an evangelist and he became a Baptist minister. And they lived here. The manse was in Heretonga Street, where now there is a skin specialist, is it a skin specialist, vein doctor there. That was the Baptist manse. My mother grew up there. They were here during the earthquake, and my father was the minister and went out to all the, you know, injured and sick and all the rest of it in the tents over that time. So they were very involved in the earthquake. My mother met my father during those days, but the family then moved over to Whanganui, her family, because being minister, they were always moving. And they were married in Whanganui and came back and lived in St. George's Road, where the property is still now to this day. Built their original house and have altered it a few times since then, and it's now the office of Johnny Appleseed.
Yes.
So that's where I was born and grew up and went to school. First of all, St. Luke's School. I went to St. Luke's until Standard 1, and then I went to Parkvale. Possibly because my brother started school then. I'm not sure why I changed schools, but maybe he was going and they decided not to send him to St. Luke's and he went to Parkvale and both there. That may be that. But in those days, he went till Standard 6 and then went to high school where, you know, we did lovely things like Gilbert and Sullivan and all those that I was in. They were lovely days. They were fun. So 4 years there, and then I had teachers' college, and I was trained as a home economics teacher, and then was married and had a family, and between that I've done lots of other things.
So was at that period of time that you had an interest in kitchen design?
Well, I don't know that I had an interest in it. It was part of the course,
yes.
And we taught it to fourth formers, and it had come from the University of Otago, because we were associated with the University of Otago Home Science Department. And I was always interested in it, so I had that training at that stage. But I was a home economics teacher until 1979, when I went into kitchens in 1980.
So during that period, you had your children.
Yeah.
Their names and what they do these days.
Well, some of them I'm not really too sure about. Joanne's the oldest. She does accountancy. She's got a position with a firm in Auckland. Mm. Christine's the next. She's at Palmerston North at Massey University trying to complete a PhD in literacy, children's literacy.
Working for Massey.
Working at Massey, yeah. Stephen's in Bunbury over in, well, it's quite interesting, back there to where John's father was born in Perth.
Yes, I know Bunbury.
You know. Well, that's where he is.
He went there in 1984 and he's still there.
Yeah. Not such a happy life really now, but he's busy doing some new things with his life, like kinesiology. He's studying and he's doing a few other things as well. And it's an American practice, sort of a combination of things like yoga and Pilates and energies, things like that. And it's very popular in Australia. So he's doing that because he's had a change in life with his marital situation. So he's on his own. So he's now doing what he wants to do with his life. And then our youngest, Nicola, she's in Wellington and she's with ACC, got a position with ACC, so they're all scattered. Mm. Yeah, she's supposed to be in the accident prevention department. Oh. Yeah. So that's very quickly my story.
All right. Now, coming back, John, to your business and how it developed over time, can you tell me something about that?
An accountancy, well, it started off in an office, saw potential in one down the road, so joined what was then R.D. Brown Webb & Co. Caused a bit of a stir because Len Webb was brother-in-law of Norm Phippard. And Norm Phippard was very, you know, looking back, it was a bit of a snub, I suppose, because he really treated me well. We used to go off to, when the British Lions were here in the 50s, we'd go off and watch a match at Wairarapa, another one at Gisborne, I suppose. So he was very good, but I just saw this having to move away. So became senior clerk at R.D. Brown Webb & Co. And I started a bit bored with accounting. Certainly didn't enjoy auditing, and we had some rather large audits like Leopard Brewery, Eastern and Central, well, it wasn't Eastern and Central then, Hawke's Bay and Gisborne Savings Bank, Nelson's Freezing Works. But computers started to come into the picture, and I got quite involved with those and did a lot of designing of, not so much programs, but formats of what the computer could do, take that drudgery away. I worked in a lot with Napier Computer Systems, so that really kept my interest in accountancy, plus of course a lot of farm accounts, accounting with the farmers.
Now during this period you had some children too.
Yes, you mean our own children?
Yes.
We also had extra children. Yes, we had four children. So I was teaching, I taught at Karamu High School, part-time, around young children, and then a fourth baby came, so I gave up teaching then, but went back afterwards, and when we shifted out to Havelock here soon after, that was 1975, I'd given up being at Karamu, I'd resigned from there, and I taught at Havelock High until 1979, and 1980 I went into, did Carlson Kitchen showroom down here in the village.
That seems a long time ago.
Yes, well it was quite an interesting time with the fire there, and and we also had extra children living with us for 18 months. John's brother who died, Brian, his children lived with us over that time, and then I went to Starwood Kitchens for Carlson for 4 years, Starwood for 4 years. That took me through to 1987, and then I started up on my own and I went into training, kitchen designers. There were no training in New Zealand, so I set up courses, wrote manuals. Wonderful. But with Gordon Dryden, well, I worked with him. There were several other people that I worked with who helped me set up the course through the NKBA, National Kitchen and Bath Association, which came from the States, and I became involved in it through a woman I'd met from the States and courses I'd done with her. And I'd become very involved in that. And so I realised there was no education programs for kitchen designers, so I set up courses.
And having a background in teaching?
Well, I couldn't have done it without that. No. That was the thing that made the difference, that I could combine the teaching and the kitchen design, because I'd had the 8 years' experience with Hortops in the factory. Yes. That was all invaluable learning, how that industry works, so I could combine them. Mm. It was just a nice, just worked. It was a nice combination. Oh. And I loved it. 25 years I was involved in that, and I think I'd do it all again.
Achieved a lot, and you know, ended up being on the Hall of Fame in the States, which is quite something.
Your sisters and brothers?
I've only got one brother, John. He's Maxwell John, known as John. My family had a funny thing about calling me by his second name. He gets very upset because, he'll probably tell you when you talk to him, that when he goes to airports, they keep asking for Maxwell Painter. Maxwell was my father's brother, that was actually my mother's second husband, her brother, when my dad died. So Maxwell was my uncle's name, and then my brother was Maxwell John, called John. My father was John Howard, called Howard. So it was very strange. So that's all. I've only got the one.
Yes. Now. Now, Brian left early, didn't he?
Left early, left home, or left the planet?
No, left the planet. Your other brother, Peter.
So Brian died in 97.
77.
77. We were in England.
With Christmas with our family over there.
Peter was over there. And Peter died a year before the earthquake.
2010 Peter died. On the anniversary of the Christchurch earthquake. Yeah. And Peter was very fond of Christchurch because he went to university there and played for Christchurch Canterbury Rugby, didn't he? And to think that the earthquake was...
He was one of a loose trio with Kel Tremaine and John Graham.
So they've both gone?
So now what have you forgotten to tell me? It's important.
Probably.
A couple of things came in my mind now they've gone.
Well, we've lived in different houses. We started off in Norton Road, was our first home, where we lived for 18 years. And then we built in Muirutai Crescent. 108 was Norton Road.
Norton Road,
27 was
alteration twice.
Three, I think. And 27 Muirutai Crescent was Peter Holland House that we built there. And we're there 25 years. And then we built in Hikanui Drive. That was 47. And we were there 16 years. And now we're in Busby Hill.
It's fascinating when you look at life's path and how things change.
Mm. So we've had overseas trips and, you know, done things like most people do. Mm. And over the years, had various dramas with health things and whatnot that people get. Somehow or other, we've managed to survive those. We're in the Presbyterian Church down here at St. Columba. John's been quite involved there over the years. So, yeah, I think we're pretty ordinary sort of people.
Tennis club.
Tennis, yeah.
So 8
tennis
years as secretary and then 6 years, a year in between. Six years as president.
And so the Boys High.
Boys High chairman.
Chairman for a long time with Graham Thomas. So, you know, we've been involved
in... Boys High, we struck the Tomorrow School, which was quite something. A lot happened. And then the Flaxmere School, they were applying to be up to fourth form, and government suddenly decided that they could be a full school, because that really could affect the existing schools. But they pulled through. So
everyone forgets something, and if something comes up that's quite important, we just say, well, we'll do it again.
Amelia Thompson, that was the name of the ship. The Amelia Thompson was the ship that my family came out to New Zealand in 1841 from Plymouth to New Plymouth. What a trip that must have been.
I don't know how those people...
No. It's made us very strong women from those pioneer women, I think, don't you?
Even in the 1860s, the Darks came.
And quite often the women travelled on their own with the children, because the husbands were already out here.
Well, they were pregnant or something, you know. I think on the ship they came out on, 7 people died and 7 babies were born. So, you know, imagine horrendous, and arriving out here in your long skirt and standing on the beach and where am I going to live?
Yes, there's no houses.
No.
There's nothing to live in.
The Maoris coming onto the beach to welcome them, and it would be just unbelievably hard.
Robert Will was telling his brother what to bring out with him. It's quite interesting, his letter.
And your Bible.
Yes. But we didn't have any roads or tracks or anything.
No.
When people came, New Zealand was serviced by coastal shipping.
Yeah, a lot of use of lighters sailing heavy deck because they stopped at each settlement.
I didn't realise until I interviewed several people from Ahuriri that Ahuriri originally was just a fishing port, and the lighters used to take the wool and all the produce out to the roadstead and load it out there.
Well, it wouldn't be a bad way to do it now, actually. We'd get them off the roads.
Even to get from Napier to, say, Hamawana, you know, the crossings they had to do with the rivers.
Well, when my people came to the village in 1862, you couldn't go across Waitangi. You had to go by barge and join up with the waterway.
I suppose I should have given birth dates, I guess. My father's was 1904 and my mother's was 1914. What was yours?
1912 and 1914.
No, 12 was your mum. She was 2 years older than my mum. They're both 1912, maybe.
Well, maybe they were the same age.
I think they might have been because they went to teachers' college the same year.
Yeah.
Back in those dark ages, a family by the name of Crisps used to live on St George's Road, I think.
Twins.
They were the granddaughters. They were in my class.
Yeah, and then there were the triplets, Anderson triplets. Yes. I went to school with them, and I was just talking to two of them yesterday.
Yes.
They're nearly 82. It's amazing.
Everyone's 82.
Are they?
No, I've changed. I'm doing what TV does. Plus one.
Tony goes up to three.
Well, I think we probably have pretty well skirted most of your history,
okay.
But anything that comes in, some of the areas will be covered by memorabilia or photos that are attached to this.
Okay.
So if you're happy with that.
Yeah.